three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Long time no see. We're recording this on the 22nd of July. Joseph Core is my name. I've got Andrew Kenyon. Andrew?
Is this thing on? How does this work? It's been a while. I've got to remember what all my settings are.
Dust them off.
Hi, everybody. Great to be back.
This episode is going to be a real scramble. We wrote down lists of stuff that we kind of want to talk about, and we're just going to jump in and out. So apologies ahead of time if it feels a bit disorganized. What are we talking about? The NBL offseason's on, summer league, teams. There's already been a couple of signings. We'll go through the key signings and actually the key players leaving the league. Admin stuff up top. Follow us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod and follow Andrew at Andrew Kenyon, C-A-N-I-O-N. And patrons, welcome back and thank you to the patrons. And if you're thinking about becoming one, there's a link in the description. All right, Andrew.
Yes.
We've got a lolly scramble of topics. Start wherever you want. What do you want to talk about?
It's all over the shop. But let's start with what people always want to talk about when you head into a new season, and that is the new players coming into the league.
Yeah,
I think that's probably a reasonable place to start. Now, I'm going to start, Joe, with a little bit of a statement. And I'm a little bit old school with all this kind of stuff. Now, I know the kids these days, they go on YouTube and they watch all the mixtapes and see who's who and how they perform and that kind of stuff. I'm not huge into that. I feel like that's the job of an agent and a team and the player to look at all that stuff and to produce it. I'm a fan man in the stand, right? I don't care. Yeah. It only bothers me once he shows up in an NBL uniform and starts to perform on the NBL hardwood. That's when I want to see what they're like. So I just want to preface my sort of readings of these imports with, I don't really give a damn at this point. Does that make sense? Mm.
Totally makes sense. And I think the other thing as well is I have a little bit of a look and I look at the stats, which are, I put probably 2/10 worth of meaning into their stats in the Euro League, because what system were they playing? Who was the coach? What were the opposition like? Was he injured? Was he hurt? You never know.
Exactly.
Right. Or if you do know, you only know half the story. So I don't put a lot of stock in it, but it's worth mentioning on the research I did. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go through what I think were the signings that moved heads.
Okay.
And if you've got a comment on them, say something.
All right.
And if not.
All right.
I got this one. This is probably the best one of the lot, or one of the most, or certainly the most recent. Justin Simon, who played with the Hawks, he's returning, but with the Kings this time. Your thoughts on that signing, him as a player when he played and the signing?
Yeah, well, that sort of extinguishes my argument from the beginning,
yeah,
right?
He's the exception. Yeah.
Because he is NBL known quantity. He's an excellent signing, just because he's a great player. Not a great scorer, but a great defensive player. Sort of signifies a bit of a change up for the Kings, wouldn't you say? Sort of
huge.
They've gone from a real offensive minded team to now they've got both him and Xavier Cooks, who are really strong defensively. But you don't trust them to really score the ball at a high clip. So, interesting player, but I think he's great. You know, he won Defensive Player of the Year, didn't he? So, what's not to like about that?
Well, if I can make an argument for what I don't like, I like the signing full stop. It's an interesting thing. They lost Martin, and we're going to talk about that a lot. But, he's a very similar player to Cooks. They're obviously seeing that, there are no big men on the market, and we're going to talk about that as well. And they're going to – so their lineup's going to be like him and Cooks. That's real small, real swift. I think that's going to be kind of fun. The only criticism I've had of the signing is very similar player to Swaka, who was younger, local, and you would thought a lot cheaper.
Yep.
So it's interesting that they've pivoted that direction, gone away from Martin. The thing that we may be forgetting out there is they still have Jordan Hunter, who at this point is looking like he's going to be NBL first or second team with a number of bigs that have left the league. I mean, he was playing really well before he got hurt last season and the year before it.
Yep.
So he's emerging, and they're obviously banking big on him being the Jerrell Martin replacement. But yeah, I like the signing. Good player, Justin Simon.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice when you have players who are willing to come back to the league. And so often we lose imports and they're gone forever, or they go to China for the money, or they go to Europe for the experience. Rarely do they come back. And I think it's pretty cool that he's returning. So yeah, the Hawks will hate it, and he's already been a bit spicy about that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I like that.
Yeah. The one thing I have as well, played under Gorgian, you know, and Gorgian makes guys look good. Chase Buford made some players look better. So that's interesting. But Gorgian, defensive, grinds you down, makes defensive players look good. Will he be as good in Sydney? We shall see.
Yeah.
Moving on. Southeast Melbourne kind of signed their guy, and I want to talk about the social media stuff they put out. Guy by the name of Trey Kells. Don't know anything about him, not going to lie. I don't know if you haven't looked at anything. No.
No, I think I probably watched the same social media YouTube clip.
What do you think?
I thought it was excellent, and that's the kind of stuff I like to see, you know, like the wheeling and dealing and the thinking and the stress and that sort of things from the management point of view, like what they go through to try and get a guy. I really thought that was great.
Same.
Please do more of that, teams. That's how you engage fans these days, right? And keep maintaining interest and build like a link between the team and the general public. Put that stuff out. It's good.
And that's the thing. We'd called for this kind of stuff, like, oh, you know, increase more exposure during the off season. They've done it, and we applaud that. You know, we think it's great. I thought it was really good. Really good polish. And also, big thank you. You got to really think. The NBL put it together and made a nice little piece out of it, but it all started with Tommy Greer and Simon Mitchell. Simon Mitchell's very willing to speak to people. He's done this podcast. He's done a ton.
Yep.
He's one of the guys who's really not shy in coming forward, and he's good like that. He's routinely good like that, and if all coaches were like that and all management were like that, it'd be a lot better. So thumbs up to the NBL, the NBL socials people and production team. And then those two coaches of management.
Yeah, yeah, and also Tommy Greer, just a reminder, if people may remember, way back when sort of social media was just getting its fingernails into the NBL, both he and Liam Santamaria hosted an independent podcast.
yeah,
Grizz and Tears, you know, like that was way back. They were sort of breaking new ground at that point when they were unaffiliated with the league. So, they're carrying on that. Tommy Greer's always willing to... have a crack at something new. So well done him.
Yeah, good on him. Let's move on. DJ Hogg has signed with Cairns. I'll just say this, 6'9", pretty rangy, kind of fun. G League numbers don't jump off the page. 9 points per game, 43%. Cairns have kind of locked in their roster. I think they've got an import spot left or maybe a local spot. I can't recall.
I think they've got an import still. But they've been moving pretty quickly with the old signings. Quick. And pretty obvious what sort of team they're trying to build as well, in that it's going to be a lot of running, a lot of 3-point shots going up. They got Antonio well, so they'll be fun to watch.
Hmm. Well, do you like that? I think they're very much a team built in the image of their coach, Adam Ford.
Yep.
And they look quite good. They've got certainty, so they're going to have a nice preseason as opposed to other teams that are waiting for what players kind of trickle out of summer league and trickle out of the PTI tournament or whatever it is, PIT, pit tournament. So they're going to have a good off season. I mean, on paper, they're not jumping out at me, but they could be a Jack Jumper light. We'll see what happens. But Hogg's not a player who jumps out at me as, you know, like a Jalen Adams or Jerrell Martin or a Cotton or so on and so forth. But they're a nice little fun little unit. Should be exciting for people in Cairns, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's all about engaging the local community and giving them a fun team to watch. So if they do
I think they've done that,
mission successful.
Derek Watson is a guy who signed in Sydney. I haven't done any research on him. Looks good. Bit of NBA pedigree. See how it goes, right?
Yeah, I've got nothing on this guy.
Yep. Milton Doyle. Now, let's talk about this in the greater – let's talk about Tasmania Jack Jumpers. Had a very, very – interesting, very intriguing, very surprising offseason where we thought this team was lovey-dovey, all for one, one for all, three musketeers. It doesn't appear that way at all. How have you seen it, Ed?
It's quite surprising, right? So, with Josh Adams coming out and saying that the coach didn't want him.
Wow.
That's pretty intense words. And I don't know, there's always three sides to an argument, right? And I don't know if you blame the coach? Is it an agent thing? Is it management? Like, how much is just the coach didn't want me versus greater things going on? He was priced out, so they said, we can't have you. Like, who knows? But, gee, it was pretty spicy for him to come out and say that.
Really spicy and played well. Do you think, let's say you ask Scott Roth.
Yep.
Would you look at their play last year and go, Josh Adams, we can do better? Would you be thinking that?
Do you know, for a lot of the season, he was serviceable. He wasn't great. we've got recency bias because he came into the end of the season and he was electric. And absolutely, but for a lot of the season, he was a bit of a head case. You know, would quickly lose the plot if things didn't go his way. He was erratic. He was in love with his jump shot for the first third of the season. And it really only improved once you realized you needed to mix it up by going inside. So there was a lot of games where he wasn't as good as what we sort of remember him as being. So, and just, yeah, I would imagine that he would have taken a lot of management to keep his head in the game.
So, he was I agree with all that. He was very fiery. And then also where I kind of, I'm not saying I side with Scott Roth. I feel like if you make the grand final with that roster, you probably roll it back.
Yeah.
And not
yeah.
probably, you probably should. One thing with Josh Adams is got better as players around him fell away. When they were a structured system, he was kind of struggling to find his spot. Then when a couple of guys got hurt, when Magne kind of went down, a couple of their primary options, and then it was like, all right, well, Josh, there you go. Shoot it whenever you want. Yeah. Then he kind of flourished. So maybe they're looking to get more structural. I mean, Scott Roth was well fiery. So this doesn't surprise me if Scott Roth would have been like, no, yeah, you may have exploded at the end of the year, but you know what? Didn't float my boat. You know, Scott Roth got into it with fans or not. He got fired up at the end of games. Yeah. Got into it with Cleveland after a game in Illawarra. So it doesn't surprise me. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say Scott Roth obviously has a very clear vision about what he's trying to build and the sort of unit he wants to maintain. So I feel like he would say, look, if you're not buying into that completely, I'm willing to sacrifice potentially a bit of talent for the overall good of the team unit and the organization. So it doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, kind of left a bit of a sour taste in the mouth.
Very, absolutely. I will say they signed a guy by the name of Milton Doyle, 20 points per game in the G League, then went to Turkey, which is probably more comparable to NBL, better standard, but comparable, 12 points per game, 37%. So can he not shoot so great? Was it the system there? I know they stifle offensive players. You may remember Bryce Cotton struggled there terribly. So the little bit of a question there of, you know, they're taking a real gamble, Tasmania, and we'll see if it plays out. They also got a guy by the name of Rashad Kelly. Know nothing about him. We'll see what happens. Moving on to the next name.
Yep.
If that's okay.
Sure.
Corey Webster. So this is, I'm doing this chronologically backwards. So Corey Webster, let's branch off this, talk about Wildcats, Scott Morrison. Let's do the whole thing. Let's start with Corey Webster, though. Signs, you got Craig O'Donoghue, like, you going to stay here full contract? Yes. You sure? Yes. Really? Yes, really. Really, really? That was funny. Funny interview. Corey Webster, what do you think?
I was pretty horrified with the signing when I heard it.
Me too, yeah.
I think, geez, of all the players in the world, this is the guy you come back with.
Yikes.
I see that. I guess I'm looking at it. I'm trying to, if I put my management hat on, I'm thinking he's probably not costing that much money. He's a local. So, you know, those two things are good. He's showing some good form in the NZNBL at the moment. So you could justify your signing with that. But to me, it just further speaks to the changing of the guard at the Perth Wildcats in terms of what they're willing to accept, in terms of, you know, their talent over culture, perhaps, if you want to call it that. They're just going to get good players, if you know what I mean, rather than necessarily good people, which was always their calling card previously. They would pass over talent if the player wasn't right. And I just think, given that he screwed them over once already, because they'd signed him once before, so maybe I'm I'm shooting myself my own argument in the foot there, because they had signed him once before and he jumped on him. So to go back to that well, it's pretty brave. And I don't love the signing.
I'll jump in here. Here's the first note I've got written. And this may be a bit harsh, but I'm going to read it anyway because I've got it written. This, to me, shows a pretty lame attempt. Maybe that's a bit of a harsh word, but a pretty lame attempt by the new admin to assert their newfound self-confidence. When I saw this, I thought this was – I think strongly that in the conversation with Corey Webster, it would have been like, hey, remember that old Wildcats? That's old school. You know, hit play on the tape deck. We're the new school. You know, my name's Danny Mills, and I'm here to say, sign you up. I can't do that shit. But you know, it's just a total attempt to be like, that was old. We're cool now, and I don't like it. Corey Webster's a decent player. He can definitely score, but I'd actually, even despite that, I don't get it on the floor. I don't get it off the floor. Obviously, I didn't even get it on the floor, and here's why. Last couple of years, hasn't been a part of a winner in how long? Years. hasn't been healthy. We looked at this NBL season last year, and so much of it was health, right? Sydney won it on the back of taking a risk on Clark that he was kind of hurt, rehabbing, and he played great.
Yep.
Tasmania, Magne goes down, kind of hurt their chances. Wildcats, Norton kind of hurt. Injuries in the NBL are so, they can be crippling, and they change your whole thing because a guy's got to step up who was going to be your eighth man. Now he's your starter. And I just think health is so important. He's shown a thing we just can't stay on the floor, bless his heart. And that to me is just such a red flag in a league where the talent pool is smaller, the spend is smaller, your options are smaller because you can't just sign willy-nilly. I don't like it culturally. I don't like it structurally. Sorry, Corey. I don't know if he listens. Probably not, but that's just me. Looking broader at the Wildcats, let's go into Scott Morrison. where do you start? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man. Scott Morrison.
Let's go with he's left the club. He gave that. What did you think of the press conference?
The press conference was terrible because it was him reading a prepared statement like he had a gun held to his head. You know, blink three times if you're okay, Scott. But also just showing no sympathy or compassion or genuine feeling for what was going on. He was so happy to get out of Dodge. Like,
yeah.
He was like, I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll read this statement. F all you guys, F all you media. I don't give a damn. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm never coming back to Perth ever again. I've got my play the spit of the sympathy card because of my family, and that's fair enough. Like, everybody's got family, yeah, and you got to put them first. However, then he goes, tip classic Scott Morrison style. He's got to go back to Canada or whatever for his family. Oh, Scott, you suddenly got a job in Utah?
He did. To be fair, he did specify North America.
Okay, right.
Which is tentative, but
North American medical system is world renowned for being fantastic, right? Wow.
He just came out the other day and slagged it off on Twitter. Yeah,
what do you expect, Scott? It's a user pay system. Oh, we couldn't get the support we needed in Australia, give me a break.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought the presser was so downbeat. It was like, yeah, really sad to go. I wish I could come back. so low energy. Bless him. He hated it. It was obvious. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. He was terrible. Yeah, he's going down as probably I'd almost say at this point, he's probably the worst coach the Wildcats have ever had. And that's putting him below Mike.
Whoa. Okay,
maybe Mike Ellis.
Connor Henry coached this team. Maybe. Calm down.
Mike Ellis was actually worse than Connor Henry.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe you had Mike Ellis.
Fisher's record is not great. Fisher's record is not very tumultuous.
He was hilarious in a press conference, though. So.
He was amazing. On court, off court, sideline. He was amazing. Well, the thing with Scott Morrison, I don't know what to think. They had a winning record. They're still, 16 and 14 or something?
Yeah.
14 and whatever. So they still had a winning record. They lost a whole bunch of games at home. Yeah, we've talked about the Wildcats enough with them, but let's move on to more positive. John Riley.
Yeah. This is probably the one bit of good news coming out of the Wildcats camp this offseason. He's great. Pretty acerbic wit. So people might take some time to warm to him, but I think he's already got a group of people more willing to give him that rope, than Scott Morrison ever had. So, and I think players will enjoy playing for him. I mean, really isn't, and maybe this is where the Corey Webster signing, although it happened before, really, maybe that can.
Maybe
he can get it to work because really was a showman when he played.
Oh, totally. Do you have any worries? Sorry to cut you off.
About John Riley?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't. I have no worries.
I do. I have one worry.
Okay.
We saw with Scott Morrison came in. Oh, I love to tell a joke. I'm sarcastic. And he was. I actually quite early on in the season, I thought Scott Morrison was charming and funny. That wit was lost on the Perth public. And John really's got that kind of biting, sarcastic style to him.
Yep.
Even in those interviews from Summer League, he's kind of like I don't know if that's going to fly. I think Perth has had Gleeson for a long while and really enjoyed that left lane, low speed, no overtaking, just straight line. And they're going to have to, again, adjust to a coach who's, when they lose, making jokes. And I just don't think that's the style they're accustomed to. So that's my one small worry.
Yep.
On court, not as much. I think they're going to be a lot more fun. Are they going to play defense?
Well, right now, that's not as much as they used to, that's for sure. But
no, not possible.
But they they're trying to recruit to get some rim protection. I think that's where they're going to try and find their defense. I think let the guards get blown by and hope they've got a couple of big bodies at the back to save them.
Well, big bodies. We're going to talk about that. Big bodies are getting expensive. Big bodies are getting rare in the NBL. Let's keep looking at some other signings. Let's move on from the Wildcats. Yep. Gary Brown. This guy plays in Puerto Rico, national team point guard. He's signed with Southeast Melbourne. Yeah, looks a good player.
Got a bit of memory seeing him in the international competitions. And
mature player.
Yep, should be solid.
He's interesting. New Zealand have done a couple of things. They signed Liafa, who I like. I actually like Liafa in isolation away from Adnam. I thought those two cannibalized one another.
Good that they've broken up, right? Yeah, that's good for everybody.
I agree. Good breakup. I'm siding with Liafa on this one. Kyle Adnam, you can keep the dog and the friends. I'm going with Liafa on this break. I just think he's a good player. He can score, he can defend. Full stop. Yep. And good pickup for New Zealand, local player. Cam Glidden went to New Zealand.
Good luck with that.
I'm going to ask you a question. I've got a question for you. Bless Cam Glidden. Bless him. Andrew Canyon, did Cam Glidden hit a three per game last year?
Three per game. I'm going to say.
Did he hit at least one?
I'm going to say yes, because I think I remember maybe one game, maybe two games where he got hot. And you know, hot in Cam Glidden speak, he made like four of them. So I'm going to say that boosted his average.
Yeah, you're right. Just he played 22 games and he made 28 threes.
That's a poor return. That's a really bad return on investment for a perimeter threat, Cam Glidden. Yeah. Like, wow.
Probably hurt. There's always something going on, but yeah. Anyway, they signed him. Maybe they can get something out of him. Yeah, we'll see. Tom Abercrombie's got the Fountain of Life.
Yep.
Fountain of Life, Fountain of Youth, pardon me. Hopefully you get some of that. Let's talk about Adelaide. Adelaide have done some really interesting stuff that I'm deciding whether I quite like it or like it okay. To take you through it, they signed Robert Franks of Brisbane.
Yep.
Antonius Cleveland from the Hawks. Drimmick back from Brisbane. And the guy, is it Kieran or Kyron? Galloway?
Kyron Galloway. Really athletic. Yep.
Kyron Galloway. So I've done those four things.
They must have set up an Afterpay account or something. They're just throwing money around left, right, and center. Like, it doesn't matter.
Early too.
Yeah.
Really. These are the first big signings. Certainly Franks and Cleveland. What do you think of what they've built in Adelaide and those players specifically?
Well, they're certainly better than Todd Withers and Dusty Hannahs. So it's a big upgrade. I think this is what we're seeing now is the result of CJ Bruton actually being, having an influence in the recruiting. He inherited that team last year. Obviously, wasn't to his liking, and now they're getting some improvements on the roster. And I think CJ is a kind of guy that people want to play for too. So I think that helps on the recruiting side. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great. Adelaide need to be good. I think it's really good, really important for the league that they're good. So I'm hopeful.
Do you think they will be?
Yeah, I think they will.
Just to run you through the lineup, it's going to be McCarron, Detch, Cleveland, Franks, and Johnson. Is that a playoff-ish team for you?
I think it is. I think it's like bottom tier playoffs. And I think McCarron has shown a lot during these Boomers games. Yeah. I think he might have turned a corner a bit. And Franks can score the ball. So DJ is not going to play defense, but he can still shoot. So
that's my worry.
Defense.
That's my worry with this team. I mean, you got Detch. Detch can defend. Yep. And obviously Cleveland can defend. But my worry with Cleveland as well, like there are a lot of times in Illawarra, good player, defensive player of the year, cool. There were times in Illawarra where he did some stuff on offense that were well beyond his station.
Yes.
And that's with Gorge in there.
Boneheaded. You know, like,
Like taking threes that were well beyond him and not one or two either. You know, so that's my called on his own number a little bit too often for my taste. So, and then the lack of inside, because Franks can't defend.
No,
I mean Brisbane were a total washout and walk through. So, can they defend their paint? We've seen where you got to defend in the NBL. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be good. Can their defensive players on the wing stop guys getting in the keyway? Very tough ask. Who's going to be there to stop them? To me, I've got worries. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, it's hard to say at the rosters, but right now, as constructed, I don't like the defense, and therefore I'm not going to bet my money on them. But still quite like – I really like Galloway. Long and athletic and can take the rim. And with the big stocks dropping in the NBL, I see him having sort of a Pinder-esque, probably not that big a breakout because they're going to be a better team than Cairns. But he's that sort of ilk. I don't know if I'm overstretching
there. Yeah, it's really disappointing that they can't have Isaac. Well, I assume they won't have Isaac Humphries back this season.
Oh, I doubt it.
Because if he was in good fitness, like we saw a couple of seasons ago where he was a real rim protector, he would just stiffen up the defense considerably.
Oh, but he will shore up your defense and dominate for about 5 or 6 games, and then get hurt.
Yeah, so it's a shame.
They'll get Humphreys in the room and they'll go, "Oh, won't you stay with?" I'm going to cut that bit up.
No, keep that.
Oh, won't you stay with? Oh, won't you stay with? Oh, won't you stay with? So, the likelihood Humphreys returns to Adelaide, I would put as low as the sea level in the Mariana Trench. I just don't see it happening.
Okay.
I think I actually heard a bit of it. There's sort of ill feeling. Got paid. Got hurt. And is now on the way out. I don't know.
How about you chuck Nate Jawai in there?
Doesn't protect the rim.
Yeah.
Good player, a lot of fun to watch. Doesn't protect the rim.
Used to be a rim protector, but it's no longer, right?
Used to be. Yeah. But now he's just like, oh, great, Nate Jawai. Yep, come on. Up you come. Pick and roll. Good luck. So, no, I don't think so. They need something else. But they've got that import slot left. Okay. They've got one.
Yep.
So, good luck to them. Back to New Zealand, Tom Vidanovic.
Yeah.
Gone to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Neat player. Like handy, second, third guy off the bench will give you 10 to 15 good NBL minutes.
I'm surprised he left Sydney. Like, I thought he was kind of really bought in there, and they seemed to value him, but obviously they weren't willing to open the checkbook.
No. That's all the signings I've got. Do you want to talk about anything else?
I think that's most of the signings. Obviously, there's still more to come. Lots
new
more
signings and movement. We'll go to re-signings now. I'll give you some names that have re-signed, and if any really jump off the page. Magne re-signed. Sobey re-signed in Brisbane. Detch in Adelaide a while ago. Cotton re-signed. Counterpinder. Creek. McDowell White was a big one.
Yep.
He's looked quite good in international. Blanchfield re-signed. Dejan Vasiljevic, Tajir McCall in
Cairns. That's a good get for Cairns, I think. He's been a bit off the reservation towards the end. As the Cairns season sort of fell apart, he was asked to do a lot. But I like him. He seems like a good dude as well.
Plays hard.
Yep.
Cannot doubt he plays hard and plays defense. So, yeah, quite like that too. Cooks re-signed. Cooks had a weird off-season not going to the Summer League. I thought that was...
Yeah. It's like he sort of thought it was beneath him or something.
Well, I just didn't see it as fruitful, which I would have thought, well, I guess maybe he was getting a lot from the New Zealand League. Couldn't be, could he?
Wouldn't have thought so, but.
And then here's the one. The Jack Jumpers re-signed Majette, and we're pretty quick in doing so. What do you think?
Oh, look, I love a ridiculous long-range three as much as the next guy, so it's good to see him. I think he's good. As long as he can plays composed, doesn't make too many silly mistakes. You're not going to find much of a better point guard out there, are you?
Like, yeah, true.
You know, better the devil,
key
you know.
Too. And Roth loved him. Roth was like, this guy is like if Steve Nash, Magic Johnson.
I think it comes down to character again. I think this is that character trait that they're looking for. A good dude, low maintenance. So I'm happy to see him back.
Mm. Let's move on. I want to talk about this topic just to throw it out there. The big man exodus. This is going to be a very interesting NBL. And we've kind of had chats about this on WhatsApp and that. I'll just give you a list of the names of the guys who will not be returning.
Yep.
Jarrell Martin in Sydney.
Yep.
What was he, NBL second team?
Yeah, second, I think, but very good player.
Very good player. Yep. Nate Jawai. Yanni Wetzel.
Yep.
He's out of contract, could return, but I haven't heard rumblings. Finn Delaney just signed in Europe, forget where.
Yep.
Jack White.
Yep.
Huge loss.
Yeah, that's massive.
Vic Law, Japan, second big time Wildcat big to sign over in Japan for big money. And then JLA, obviously. He was the third runner up in MVP.
Yeah, where's JLA? Where's JLA gone? I've forgotten.
China.
Oh, thank you.
China. He's playing for like the Sea Monkeys. They've always got great names over there. So that's a lot of good bigs. And I may be forgetting some.
That ticked all my list off today. I had a couple of guards as well leaving, but yeah, they're all the big men I had.
I just worry, what's the NBL big stocks going to look like? And that's why I think, honestly, the best two contracted NBL bigs at the minute, obviously Cooks, real good, no problem there.
Yep.
Is he a true big? Yeah, he's a big guy. Johnson and Hunter are going to be right on the top of the list, as in Jordan Hunter of Sydney.
Are you saying Daniel Johnson of Adelaide?
I'm saying Daniel Johnson of Adelaide. Yes. That's going to be who's the big. Well, who else is contracted right now who's better?
The only other one I can think is Ariel Hakpoti is going to have a field day.
Ariel Hakpoti, good point. Yeah.
But But you're right. That's kind of it. We're gonna, is Kai Sotto coming back?
Does it matter?
Maybe it's a Harry Frolic kind of year.
Oh, stop it. Don't be now you're being ridiculous. I think I just worry about who's going to be filling these spots. I think the league's going to be really small. And I just look at Japan. Mooney's gone there. Law's gone there. Yeah. A bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
Just the fact that there's that money around it just prices out the NBL, whether they go there or not. And the big – I got a shock of horror for NBL fans when I saw that Brock Modem signed in Japan.
Hmm.
Brock Modem is a guy who the NBL would love to get. Local, blah, blah, blah. Also massive, huge player.
Yep.
Has been entrenched in Europe. Married to a Lithuanian girl in Lithuania. Loving it. Great league, everything. Gets bought out and goes to Japan. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, how much money are they throwing around?
They got so much money. I mean, what happened to Japanese people just liking baseball? Like, why are they suddenly getting into basketball?
Well, it's a newish league and, oh, let's spend big. But how much money? You got to think, if you're going to get Brock Modem out of Europe where he's been for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or it's thereabouts.
And I got to say, have you ever been to Japan?
No, okay. Love to.
I have been there once. It's awesome. Like, in terms of a cool place to live and experience for a while, you're going to be hard-pressed to beat Japan. So they've got so much going for them. You know, like, they got money. They got a lifestyle. It's an interesting place. It's safe. It's secure. Unless you're,
Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Former Prime Minister. Sorry about that.
No, that was tragic. Very unusual, though, for Japanese environment. So,
homemade gun. Who would have thought it?
Typical Japanese, right?
Industrious.
He implemented lean manufacturing theory in his lounge room. Anyway.
Let's move on. Let's stay with it. You're right. Japan. It's so I have a huge one. And then there's also this Asian league that's come up, the Asian Super League. That's coming about. So that's got a bit of money and a bit of interest. So where the NBL sits in that space,
It's
interesting. You got something?
I was just going to say, I want to pick up on Jack White and then transition across as well, Luke Travers. It's a couple of interesting Summer League stories in those two guys. Both of them did pretty well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack White, now he was going to be a real problem in the NBL. I've often compared him to a modern Andrew Vlahov. And I think he proved that in Summer League, just beasting. And I think awesome that he's gotten that contract. He's got the Duke upbringing as well. So he knows how to handle himself as a professional because of all of that. So awesome for him. Then you've got Luke Travers, actually drafted, but then did okay and then sent back to Perth. So no sort of guaranteed deal for him at the moment. So do you have a take on those two guys?
I do have a take. Travers, I think his very fine agent, Daniel Moldovan, may have said to Cleveland, like, listen, 57th pick, it doesn't matter to you, but it matters to me. Pick him up. You can stash him. Oh, okay, great. I don't think Travers was ever a real contender for the NBA this year. But as you say, play well in Summer League, and to be drafted, it's amazing. Good for him. But I don't think that was done in full earnest. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And but no, always coming back to the Wildcats, just a little bit young and everything. I mean, Jack White is seriously 25 kilos of muscle heavier than Travers. He's NBA ready. He's really athletic. He's a really good player. Jack White just played really well. Huge loss for the NBL. Huge loss for United. They all loved
it. He was their next Golding, wasn't it? He was going to be the marketable pin-up boy.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And, you know, Jack White men can jump. Like, he was he was really fun to watch, and he's a huge Melbourne-based, and NBL HQ couldn't get enough of him.
Yeah. Good-looking white young man.
Oh, God, just fell over. But no, he's gone. But, yeah, played well. That's my take on it. I think, the Travers thing was a bit more of a Daniel, you're a good guy. You say he's good, we'll take him. I think there's a bit of that going on. Moving on. Oh, I want to talk about this, unless if you're happy to leave it there.
Yeah, sure.
Brian Gorgian versus Simon Mitchell. I get a vibe.
This is interesting.
Whoa, let me just say, I read an article. I think it was on ESPN. I think it was Kane Pittman. Well done, Kane. Good article. And I sort of read between the cracks. I don't know if you read this article, but Gorgian was kind of like talking about Joe Chi. Joe Chi had come out against Australia versus China and played really well. 20 points, 20 rebounds, blocks. And Gorgian, who's been a big Joe Chi pumper.
Yep.
And he's going to revolutionize the NBL, blah, blah, blah. Big pumper.
Yep.
Just basically said, yeah, didn't quite have the year in the NBL. And then kind of subtly was like, well, you know, maybe wasn't quite used in the proper way. I'm not saying anything, but definitely condemning. And I read between that. I was like, oh, he's taking a shot at Simon Mitchell. Wow. In particular about like the pick and roll coverage, yep. Not letting Joe Chi just sit back in the keyway in drops. And a little subtle little thing there I thought was really interesting. I don't know if I agree. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with Gorgian or whatever, but I don't know if you read that article and saw Joe Chi or whatever.
I didn't read the article, but interesting. It's a disappointing that we're not going to have Gorgian in the league this year for them to have a bit of argy-bargy at half court, you know, as in the handshake line.
I would have got Mitchell for comment. I would have said, oh, he's Brian Gorgian's telling you how to run your team. Simon, what do you think? I don't know if it was that insidious. I'm probably starting BS. I want to say this. We talked about Summer League just before. The Summer League content. Liam San Maria.
Yep.
Joe Healy. Yep. Clap, clap. We loved it, right? We thought it was really good.
Really good. I want to know, how do we get a trip there? That's the big question. Yes. Looked like a lot of fun.
You know how I know it was fun. Here's how I know it was fun, Andrew. Day one, Joe Healy on the mic. Voice like velvet. Day two, welcome back to Summer. Bless her. She had fun. That was great.
At one point, I think I lost track of which day it was. So,
I found that funny. I really like Joey. I think she's great on commentary and sideline. And yeah, day two, voice gone. That was hilarious.
Big night.
Both from the interviews. I'm sure they were taxing it, but also perhaps maybe, you know, an allowed the Bally's nightclub bar.
Yeah.
Two vodkas. Yeah, I got to yell over the DJ. I don't know. Either way, they had fun and it was great.
It was good content. I really enjoy it. I know, it's just good to get that sort of touching base with what was going on with the Australian players. And the fact that Australia does have enough of a presence to support, you know, a daily sort of catch up is pretty cool. It's a good thing for the league.
The NBL, like if you follow at NBL.com, that is your one-stop shop for all Australian basketball. They do the Boomers, a bit of NBA stuff of Australians over there. It's a really good spot, as does ESPN Australia, might I just say. They do a really good job as well. But like Basketball Australia is what are they going? Their website's dreadful. The Twitter. Probably shouldn't speak out of school, but the NBL does a great job of it, so that's that. I want to talk about worries, right? Coming into next season, are there any teams you worry about either? I'm mainly talking off-court, but – you know, and I've got three. I'll isolate my three worries, and you tell me whether you share this.
All right.
Brisbane, deathly quiet up in Brisbane.
Yep.
They've been gutted talent-wise again.
Yep.
Still, and I just look at that small stadium, bunch of things. But Brisbane, what do you think?
Yeah,
I'm worried.
They're still not spending money. They're still going to be boring. Every year they're a really boring team, and I don't see that changing. So, worry signs in Brisbane. Why do people care? Like, why would you go watch Brisbane Bullets play a game?
It's such a dire. Like, you're never gonna win it, or even really contend in a serious way.
Yep. And there's just nothing about that venue. I haven't been to the venue. Maybe it's great when you're sitting in the stands. I don't know, but nothing about it screams excitement. It just looks like you're going to the state league. And if you're going to the state league, we'll just go to the state league. Yeah, NBL one. It's fine.
And branching off from this, there was a big talk of expansion. Like, oh, there's so much talent, we can expand. And I see the total opposite. I disagree. And I say that because, and we're talking about Brisbane. And Brisbane last year just hemorrhaged games, game after game, didn't play defense and lost by some pretty big numbers. Had some exciting finishes along the way, but typically they were a dead spot in the schedule. To go along with Adelaide for the first three quarters of the year,
yep.
New Zealand the whole season for reasons somewhat out of their control,
yep.
Brisbane themselves, and then Cairns were obviously a perennial loser. So, there were some times on the NBL schedule where you'd be like, holy moly, four teams here are a dead spot on the schedule in a league of only 10 teams.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
And more the point with Brisbane, I mean, they had one injury of real note. Sobey goes down and that was their year. Yep. The moment he went down, it was over. And I know he's a big loss, but you would have thought they could kind of tread water. Nope, it was just total, the plug is out of the bath, gurgle, 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 circling the drain. So... And then the same with those other couple of teams where it just didn't quite, they had a couple of injuries and they totally, the bottom totally fell out. So the idea that you could expand. I don't know if there's the real talent there, especially with what we're seeing with signings, with guys getting pilfered to Japan and China. And so
yeah, that's a worry. If you get the best Australian players and you can keep them in the NBL, I think there's enough talent. But yeah, there's so many of them are getting poached away to other places in the world. Maybe to solve that, now I've been watching a bit of NBL 1 this year. Obviously, I'm commentating.
Yeah. Speak to that. Yeah, how's the commentary
going? I'm commentating the Mighty Perth Redbacks games, men's and women's, each of their home games. I'm there on the mic, which I'm loving.
Women's and men's, ladies first.
That's right, women's and men's. And that's the way the fixturing goes too. It's a really fun thing.
It's great.
Tune into KO Freebies. Well, I don't know when this is going to be published, but it's on KO Freebies tonight.
Do it.
But my point is, there's some pretty good imports in the NBL 1. Now, not like elite, but pretty good. So how about the NBL, if you need depth, you say if you played like a qualifying season as an import in the NBL 1,
you don't count
as an import.
That's a good rule.
You just
That's
come
a
in,
good change.
Right? Because there's some good players in the NBL 1 that could then get a gig, and they're pretty talented. So you bring them in as like a fourth or a fifth, you know, just a bench player for an NBL team.
Yep.
Count it. Yeah. Boost the NBL 1.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's a good idea. Devendrick Walker is probably the number one name I can think of.
Yep. He's been lighting up.
Jeremy Kendall,
why not? He's got more uniforms to collect.
Sidewards on Jeremy Kendall, talking about funny Twitter stuff that happened. Shane Heal puts out a tweet saying, oh, basketball, very political. And then Jeremy Kendall puts under it, very, full stop. I think they shared an agent at one point. I won't go into it, but yeah, that people out there, that was funny.
I want to give a shout out as well. If you're looking for a bargain basement import for the NBL, from the NBL 1, guy playing out of Coburn Cougars, Carter Skaggs, right?
Ooh,
you watch him shoot the ball. My goodness, he's had some scoring nights. He hit like 12 threes the other night. It's ridiculous. Wow. And he gets on fire and he just cannot miss. It's Carter Skaggs. Look out for him.
I really love your idea, Andrew. I really love it. It promotes the NBL 1 and then the NBL does this sometimes where it puts up these roadblocks to talent.
Yep.
Why do that?
Yeah.
Why put up a roadblock to talent and improving the product? I don't get it. It doesn't. And the NBL 1, I don't think, I mean, unless people are going to do dodgy stuff and, you know, do a like Monty Burns nuclear power plant, bring in a whole lot of studs. This is not going to happen.
You're just building pathways between the two leagues and creating a reason for players to sign with the NBL 1 because they might get that NBL contract. It becomes a lot easier. Hey, I'm just an ideas guy, right?
No, I love it. No, I love it a lot. Let's jump onto this. Talking about teams with worry. Illawarra. We talked about Gorgon. Gorgon gone. You lose the most famous coach in basketball. Now they've lost their major sponsor.
Their major sponsor's gone, has it?
Yeah, just left. Pepper Money, I think it was. There was their naming.
Yes.
Maybe not their major, but their naming sponsor.
Yeah.
So you lose your coach, who could get talent on the cheap, presumably.
Yeah.
And now you lose your sponsor. I mean, Illawarra, talking about like, I'm a bit worried about Illawarra. You know, administratorily, it's like, every year that's the same thing. So do you have any greater worry about Illawarra?
Well, I think they're just going to go back to the Illawarra of a few years ago where there's
– totally agree.
Yeah, you know, suddenly their whole organization's in doubt, you know, we need bums on seats. They struggled to get bums on seats last year. So how are they going to do better this year? Yeah, they've lost Justinian Jessup's out of there.
Yes.
He was fun to watch, so he's gone.
Reith. Reith would have bigger and better options.
Sure.
Why would Reith return to the Hawks with no national coach there?
Exactly.
I do not. What if his agent is there would say, why would you do this?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, people.
Yeah. If he was going to sign, he would have already. He's not returning.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, you said it. The other one, Melbourne. We talk about Jack White, JLA, they're gone. Yep. I bet they are sitting there going, Sacramento Kings. Please sign Dele. Please sign Dele. You get an NBA buyout money. You get the money back. Oh, no, Dele, please don't go. Okay, all right, cool. Let's redistribute this money. Don't we love the 8 points for game five assists, whatever. That was amazing, but we're going to go in a different direction.
Yeah, they've been hollered. They've been really hollered.
They have been gutted.
Yeah.
They have been gutted.
Man, their roster's not looking very impressive at the moment.
But they've got options. Here's why I'm not so bad. They've got money. They've got options. Yeah.
But they've got to find a player. Like, that's the thing. You can have all the money you want, but you need dudes.
You need locals too, and there are not many. They're looking at Isaac Humphries, as I said, amazing for seven games, and then not quite so amazing. So I don't worry about them because I got money, and they're Melbourne United. They'll be all right. But, the local stocks, I mean, what locals are still available? Barely any.
Yeah. Anyway. They got.
What have I got here? You got anything for me?
Just the fixtures. I got to ask you, what do you think of the two sort of novelty events, the Christmas game and then the open air game?
Really like them. Talking about the open air game, it's a shame it's against Cairns, Melbourne and Cairns. I would have liked a bigger Perth-Sydney, Perth-Melbourne, bigger matchup.
Yep.
But Perth-Cairns will suffice. It's a good spectacle. Hopefully it's a good game. So that's, tick. They've done that before, so that's a tick.
Yep.
As far as games on Christmas, again, for me, another big tick. It's something new. It's something different. I worry about in-stadium attendance. I don't think it'd be a huge draw to get people there. But as far as on TV, you're in a sporting vacuum in Australia. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, don't tell my mother, but I like it. I think Christmas, what else you can do? Especially by the time it gets to the evening, like turn TV on, watch game.
Oh, is it going to be in the day, lunch or evening?
I think it's an evening game. So, yeah, you do all your Christmas lunch stuff and then gets to 7 or 7:30 at night or whatever and the game's on. So I think why not? I think good stuff. No problems at my end. The open air game, maybe the novelty's wearing off now. I think like it's fine, but I'm not jazzed by it.
If I remember, the last one was poor because it was a really low scoring Melbourne Perth, like 73-71 guys shot really poorly.
Right.
Maybe if you made it a little bit more permanent and also a little bit more often, you guys would get accustomed to it. But I remember the last one being a non-event, and I think it was because of the conditions.
Mm.
So I love it in theory. I haven't seen the practicality, but if you did it more often and you actually had some highlights from one of these games, then it'd be different. So that's all good.
My final request of the league this season is: what are the odds we can get 4K coverage, or at least a higher quality stream than what you're pumping out at the moment? Because
on ESPN KO?
Just KO. Just the quality of the stream. You need to lift your standards because I got a big TV, but I got aging eyes, and I want to have good high resolution coverage, right?
Yeah, right.
So you look at the NBA, and it looks spectacular. Now, I'm not saying you can necessarily get to that level, but spend a little bit of money on upgrading your cameras, please.
Here's what you do. Branch over to the AFL. You say, AFL, hey, let's get into business together. Let's share cameras. Let's share admin. Let's share ideas. That's how you do it, because you can't go out and buy all this equipment. You kind of mold the two together would be my easier said than done. But that's that. Can I it's some more funny stuff on Twitter that I think was brought up in our NBL Pocket Podcast Discord.
Oh, jump on that, people.
Oh, that is one of the most fun places on the net, let me tell you. Someone put this up where, going back to Scott Morrison, took a parting shot on the way out, put up a tweet. It said something like, it had a photograph of a guy leaning on a stone wall watching like a market, a bazaar, people going crazy down below. And Scott Morrison had written something like, people who join up to Twitter but don't say anything.
Yep.
Full stop. You know, kind of condemning people who have a Twitter account, obviously check it, look at it, ooh, whatever, but don't contribute. Yep. So, and I agree with Scott Morrison on that. That's not the, if you're in the public Discord, you got to say something. Anyway, then someone had cropped up with that Craig O'Donoghue, writer at West Australian. I like Craig. I like his stuff very much. And I never thought he ever overstepped his bounds with Scott Morrison. But his account famously in the byline, I think, even says, on Twitter, haven't said anything for 10 years on Twitter or something like that. So people made that connection. It could be totally unrelated. I don't know. But I thought, oh, that's a funny thing to talk about.
There was no love lost between those two. They hated each other's guts. I think that's fair to say.
And it was such a weird thing. What turned... Oh, it was the comment of, if they let me go, I keep the money, whatever, blah, blah,
blah.
Was that the scene or was it something before?
I think that was it. I think that was the one. Yeah, he's like, I'll just walk away, take my money, enjoy the payout, and the next guy up can, good luck to him. Yeah.
Which is, funnily enough, exactly what's happened. Wow.
Very prescient.
Staying with sort of Twitter and that. Olgun Ulic gave Matt Loge a slapping. This was a while ago. Matt Loge, who we like again, yep. And Olgun, who we like as well, put out some stuff that was, I think there was a slight error in it. I really can't recall what the error was. I really can't recall what it was. I think I described a contract in the NBA incorrectly.
Okay.
Easy mistake to make. Don't know if it had a huge underpinning on the thing. Anyway, clipped up, put out there, speaker's corner, got whipped. Daniel Mullivan commented below, like, this is unacceptable. This is no good. I was like, oh, my word. Public pillory. Did you see this?
I didn't. No, this one passed me right on by.
Okay. Well, and everyone jumped on. Oh, boy, it was Matt Loge found himself at the bottom of a internet dog pile.
Oh,
Matt.
No, that's never good.
These things happen. I will say, though, we're all for criticism. We've been known to do it here sometimes. I think we've even done it in the last 15 minutes. My public appeal to Daniel Mullivan, I agree. Not so much that I agree that the standard of journalism, sports journalism in Australia is poor, but I think that, yeah, the investment in it could be there. I like to throw out these crazy things. If Daniel Mullivan signs me to a contract, I love making video content, right? Highlights and
splicing. Yeah, and you're good at music. It.
Oh, I appreciate that. My public opinion, Mullivan, sign me to your talent agency. I'll create stuff. And if it doesn't get, I will guarantee that I'll hit certain KPIs of views and watches and just sort of practical salesy stuff. And if I don't hit those targets, any investment you're making me, I'll repay. So I'm going to tag Mullivan. You know, if you're going to criticize people, let's put some money down. I'll come over. I'll make the best damn highlights you've ever seen. I'll work around the clock for, well, a bit of money, industry standard money. And we'll get some real stuff going out, because I'm looking at the date, 22nd of July. On the 7th of August, which is coming up in 2-3 weeks, that's going to be the 1-year anniversary of the Boomers.
Okay.
And I have not seen near enough content on that for what was a really remarkable achievement. It's a bit at the time and a few things, but I want 20-minute highlights, 30-minute documentary, Paddy Mills sitting down. Oh, it means this, it means that. This was the turmoil. I want to use footage of Bogut flipping off China in the World Cup.
Yeah,
the
failures right of the back. Yep.
Cram it all together, make an amazing thing. Hasn't been done. We're a year on. Yeah, it's getting a bit long in the tooth. Let's get some footage out there. So that's my appeal. I'll set a very reasonable price for my services.
I like that idea. And look, while we're pleading for jobs. Look, I'm open to opportunities too. You know, if anybody's looking for really anything at this point in time, I'm there for it. So, you know, if you need a brain, a pair of hands, you know, like, just give me a shout out on Twitter or something.
Yeah. Andrew is the king of productivity.
Sure.
Office Man. Productivity.
Yeah, there you go. You need a management consultant, I'm your guy. So, yeah.
Social media guy. Podcast. I saw the NBL one. There's a girl on the team who's doing their own social media. She's rushing off the court at the end of the game. Andrew Canyon, ladies and gentlemen. Could do that. Piece of it. That's really all I've got as far as basketball goes.
Yeah, I think that's it. Look, it's been nice to touch base once again on the NBL and all its goings on. Obviously, yeah, pretty takes a while to build up enough content for a show over the off season, but obviously once the season kicks off proper, I'm sure we'll be there. Back to our regularly scheduled content.
We will. And thank you to the patrons for hanging around during the off-season. I hope this satisfies the appetite somewhat. It should be a good issue. It's going to be a different season. Less bigs. It's going to be quicker. So fingers crossed. But exciting stuff. Andrew,
this is
real pleasure.
This has been Andrew Kenyon signing off on behalf of Joe Corr for the NBL Pocket Podcast. We'll see you again soon.